This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
It's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I said, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of Pissing People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God. Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Ha 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 ha. Hey, Yee. No. Why?
This is kind of weak, like Elmo. You always do that Elmo voice for everything.
I can't. I mean, I'm trying to do the best Angela Yee voice as I can.
Time for this show.
Okay, well, good morning, Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
How's everything?
Good. I'm not going to lie, I'm exhausted today. I've been having a long week, but shout out to everybody who came out to my book club yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every month I do this book club. I try to support black authors because there's not a lot of outlets for authors to support themselves and to promote when they have a book coming out.
Okay.
So I do this book club, and this is the first time I did it at the Schomburg, which is in Harlem, and it's part of the New York Public Library whole ecosystem. So I'm also an ambassador for the New York Public Library, so it was like my first situation with them. So
nice.
It was really great, and thank you to Devon Franklin who came out. He's going to be on the Breakfast Club this morning, too.
Yeah, he's going to be joining us this morning in a little bit, so we'll kick it with him. You know, yesterday I did nothing but sleep. I've been tired.
That's nice.
From Atlanta. I was in Atlanta for the last 4 days. From Super Bowl, I was looking at some property, so I was just tired. So yesterday when I got home, I said hello to the kids. I was helping London with her homework, and the next thing I knew, it was 4 o'clock and time for me to get up. So I don't know if I helped her right. I don't know if I helped her, because she had to make sentences, so I'm hoping the sentences are right.
Well, look, I went to bed. I got home at like 10:30, and then I have another book club, a book launch for Angie C. Thomas. She wrote The Hate U Give, and she has another book on the come up.
Mm-hmm.
So that book is like 400-something pages.
Wow.
And I was trying to make sure I got through it, so I stayed up trying to read last night until I fell asleep. And then I also have officially launched my DrinkFreshJuice.com, which is my subscription-based press juices. So if you go to DrinkFreshJuice.com, it's official, finally. It's taken a long time to get it together. I thought it was going to launch in November, then December, but it's finally ready to go. Everything approved, and it's all fresh, natural press juices. It's vegan, all of that. Nothing added to it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you see the Trump State
home.
Of the Union.
You I wasn't home.
I can just guess he talked about building a wall, and he said he's going to build a wall. I'm sure that's what he said.
Well, don't worry. In front page news, I do have some of those recaps because I was trying to watch that this morning as I was getting ready for work. So whatever you missed, we have some of those recaps for you this morning.
All right, we'll get into all that. And don't forget, Devon Franklin will be joining us in a little bit as well. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news.
Yes, we're talking about... do you have any sports?
No, there's no sports.
Okay.
What's up, Charlamagne?
Good morning, guys.
All right. Go ahead, talking about Donald Trump's State of the Union yesterday. Now, he is asking for unity in the government because, you know, the government shutdown has only been delayed until next week. So hopefully they can come to some sort of resolution so that people can stay working and stay getting paid for their work. Here's what he had to say.
We must choose between greatness or gridlock, results or resistance, vision or vengeance, incredible progress or pointless destruction. Tonight, I ask you to choose greatness.
All right. Now, he also, of course, has talked about border security. Here's what he says about border security.
In the past, most of the people in this room voted for a wall, but the proper wall never got built. I will get it built. Congress has 10 days left to pass a bill that will fund our government, protect our homeland, and secure our very dangerous southern border. I have ordered another 3,750 troops to our southern border to prepare for this tremendous onslaught.
All right, now, he goes on to talk about these Chinese tariffs because, you know, a lot of people were discussing the economy and how that's going to affect people here. Here's what he said about these taxes.
He said, so if he doesn't do this in the next 10 days, what happens in 10 days?
You're going to shut the government down.
Shut the government down again?
Shut it back down because, you know, it's only temporary.
Right.
That it's not shut down until, I think, the 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
I doubt he'll shut it down again, but it's possible.
Yeah, you never know with this guy. Here's what he had to say about these Chinese tariffs.
We are now making it clear to China that after years of targeting our industries and stealing our intellectual property, the theft of American jobs and wealth has come to an end. Therefore, we recently imposed tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese goods, and now our treasury is receiving billions and billions of dollars.
Another thing that Donald Trump talked about in his State of the Union last night was North Korea. Here's what he has to say.
If I had not been elected president of the United States, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea. Much work remains to be done, but my relationship with Kim Jong-un is a good one. Chairman Kim and I will meet again on February 27th. And 28th in Vietnam.
Donald Trump in his State of the Union also goes on to talk about, here was something good that everyone cheered for, women in Congress.
And exactly one century after Congress passed the constitutional amendment giving women the right to vote, we also have more women serving in Congress than at any time before.
Well, that was one of the good things that has come out from people being more aware of what's going on and understanding that they have to make sure that we put ourselves in positions.
I thought the State of the Union was solid. I mean, the bars weren't immaculate. He's no Barack or
Well, he stuck to the script.
No me, but, you know, he was good.
Now, here's what Van Jones thought about Donald Trump's State of the Union.
I saw this as a psychotically incoherent speech with cookies and dog poop. He tries to put together in the same speech these warm, kind things about humanitarianism and caring about children. At the same time, he is demonizing people who are immigrants in a way that was appalling.
Demonizing.
All right.
Cookies and dog poop. He definitely was standing firm on his stance about illegal immigrants.
Oh, he's never backing down from that.
Now, that's not happening.
Here's what else Van Jones had to say about the State of the Union.
No, that's it.
Okay, sorry.
That's the only audio we got.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well. I think Van is upset because Van didn't get a shout out when Donald Trump took full credit for the first step act.
You think that's all that was?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And he said when he talked about Alice Marie Johnson, he said my friends. He ain't give Kim or Kanye a shout out either.
Okay. So now Kanye's mad?
He might be this morning.
My goodness.
He ain't getting no shout out.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or your morning is horrible, or maybe you feel blessed. Whatever it may be, 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Head to eBay this winter and make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee. Plus, free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
The Breakfast Club. It's your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Eric from Detroit.
What's up, bro? What up, doe? Get it off your chest.
What up, doe? Good morning, Angela Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlamagne.
Angela
What's up,
Yee?
Brother?
What's up? excuse me, y'all driving. We're in Detroit, we have a severe ice storm, and I'm on my way to work right now, driving to some ice. So I had to get y'all off the radio and put my hand.
Wasn't it like 50 degrees there yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what they're saying. They say in Michigan, is always, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute. So, you know, first we were like 20, 30 below, and then like 2 days later, it got to 50, and now it's an ice storm or whatnot. But, yeah, guys, I want to say a couple of things. First of all, you're making me think of something, because I tried to call you guys last week. One day, some cat called you guys. He said, man, I'm so tired of this cold. Y'all said, where you calling from? He was like, Miami. And y'all flipped out on him. Like, oh, it's like 3 degrees here, and it's like 50 down there. That day, it was minus 20 in Detroit.
Mm. Right.
I wanted to get on y'all line so bad to tell, dude, will you sit still, brother? Come to Detroit in the wintertime, and you'll be crying to go home.
Exactly.
But flip side, Charlamagne, this is for you, brother.
Yes,
last
sir.
Last week or a couple weeks ago, you were talking to the guy Trav that calls all the time, and he had a comment about you calling J. Cole the Tim Duncan of rap.
Right, yes.
Now, for me, this means one of two things. This guy doesn't watch basketball, or he does not understand who Tim Duncan is. I am a huge Spurs fan, first and foremost. So when I heard you say that, I said, that is so dead on. Calling anybody the Tim Duncan of anything is a supreme compliment because the guy was fundamentally sound, not flashy, and yet and still was a star. And I think you guys said he had 4 rings. He's got 5.
5 rings. Yeah, I had that wrong. 5 rings, 15-time All-Star. Okay, two MVPs, 3 NBA Finals MVPs. That's J. Cole. J. Cole is big, fundamental, not flashy, but he's a star.
Hello, who's this?
Kavee.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm on air. I was talking to somebody else. Okay, my daughter's birthday is February the 14th. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina.
803, what's happening?
Okay.
Okay, and then I want to shout out her YouTube page. She's not trying to be a rapper, Charlamagne. She's only 3.
Okay.
She'll be 4. It's Skylar Love, SKYLARLOVE. And we're doing a giveaway on her birthday if we get up to 10,000 subscribers and 10,000 views.
What is she doing? What is she doing on the page?
What
is she doing on her YouTube page? Play with toys? Open up toys?
Play with toys. Mm-hmm.
I ain't mad at you. There's a lot of kids making a lot of money doing it. And for some reason, my kids like to watch it. I don't know why, but it's confusing, but they do.
Here's the thing, though.
Tell your kids to go over to my daughter's page, Skylar Love. Now, it's a lot of Skylar Loves on YouTube, but she's the black 3-year-old little girl.
All right.
Yeah, but what is she giving away?
We're giving away $250 if we get 10,000 subscribers and 10,000 views.
Okay.
Now, $250 is a lot of money. That's a light bill for a month, right?
That's great. She's making money at an early age.
I'm going to subscribe. Hey. I'm going to have my kids subscribe.
Thank you, DJ Envy. And a shout out to Angela Yee as well. And Charlamagne, I used to listen to you on One Hot 103.9, and I even came to some of your events.
My events used to be popping, right?
Yeah, you were like, I always thought you was going to get slapped back in the day, but yeah.
I did. I mean, it's not like I didn't. I mean, not in Columbia, but, you know, I did once or twice here in New York.
Okay, well, I always thought that for you.
And what do you mean, you used to? We are Hot 103.9 right now in the morning, right now.
No, I listen to you.
She's saying that she's been listening to you for a long time.
Dropping the clues bombs for Hot 103.9 in Columbia, South Carolina. One of the 4 radio stations that I got fired from in my radio career.
There you go.
Chris Connors, what's up, my brother?
Is he the one that fired you?
Yes, that's my guy, though.
Okay.
He always told me that I was going to be a star.
But he deserved it, but you wasn't. You
but
was
you got to get out.
Hey, man, it happens sometimes. It's the business, right. You know what I'm saying? It's the business.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Janice from Spring Lake.
Good morning,
hey,
Mama.
How
get it off
you?
Your chest.
Great. Right around the corner from J. Cole. Shout out to J. Cole. But the first thing I want to say is y'all left me on hold the other morning and just hung up. And I was so excited to call. But my gripe is about the real estate business. When I was in school Everybody was so hyped. I'm going to be your first customer or client. I can't wait to buy a house. Now that I'm licensed, where are the buyers? Where are the sellers? Where was all that energy when I was in school and it took me 5 times to pass the test?
Well, the way my bank account, the way my bank account set up, baby, you know, I don't have it the way I had it when you was just going in, when you was in school.
Where you located?
North Carolina, Janice Henry of Lucas Moore Realty. Come see me, somebody. Please.
Yeah, come see her. You know
I'm
what
I'm? Quit my job.
You know what I realized about North Carolina? A lot of people that are into buying houses and flipping houses, they become real estate agents themselves. It saves them a lot of money.
Tell me about it. 4 of my friends have already went to school.
See?
And I love that. Go for it. But seriously, where are the buyers?
She's like, okay, that's great and all, but...
All right,
wonderful.
Mama.
Why don't you plug where people can find you right now?
Go to Janice Henry of Lucas Moore Realty on Facebook.
Okay.
Hit me up. Please.
Good luck, Mama.
Thanks, love.
Hello, who's this?
Don't know. What's up, Envy?
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
What's up, Yee? What's up, Charlamagne?
What
What's up, my brother?
Yo, first off, I wanna say that you guys got me cracking up every morning. I love listening to you guys. You guys get me going. I'm a truck driver. I'm an on-the-road truck driver. So I wanna thank you guys for that. And I just wanna spread some positive vibes to anybody out there that's going through anything bad or just trying to pursue their career. You know, I just want to let them know, don't stop, keep going, because if you do stop, you're going to just be at position square one. So the reason why I say that is because I'm 22 myself. I'm from New York. I'm from Long Island. And I've been through the worst. I know there's a lot of people out there going through it too, but at a young age, I've been through the worst. No, and I just didn't stop. I didn't give up. And I pursued my career as a truck driver in August of last year, and I made it. So that's it.
All right, bro.
Congratulations, my brother.
Keep
we
pushing.
Love the positive energy. Keep it going, man.
Definitely, man. You guys motivate me, guys. I love y'all.
Thank you, man.
You motivate
love
us.
You too. We love you. I love when
that
brothers.
That sounded
can,
so funny. I love
you
brothers. Too.
I just love when brothers can tell each other they love. We love each other,
back.
Man. You know what I'm saying?
Hello? Hello, who's this?
He's like, hello. I haven't met him.
What's up, Rod? We love you too, bro.
We love you, Rod.
No, I wanted to spread some positivity because about 6-7 months ago, my little 8-year-old daughter told me she wanted a DJ, and I'm like, get out of here. So I bought her a little DJ set, and make a long story short, she's been getting a lot of attention just off her little Instagram videos, even much that the CEO of the Miami Dolphins had her DJ August 25th, a halftime show at Dolphin Stadium.
Okay.
And has even gotten like little sponsorships with Kids Foot Locker and all that other stuff.
That's
it's
dope.
Been awesome. So,
you invested in your child and the investment came back.
That's right. Keep pushing it, man.
So y'all follow her, DJ Marley 954.
How long has she been doing it?
6-7 months only, and I'm not a DJ, so she just been learning on herself, looking at YouTube videos, looking at even Envy too. She looked at videos where you're doing other things like in clubs, I guess, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's been like, that's what I want to do. I'm like, all right.
Envy, you still a DJ?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I actually
all
do.
The time.
I actually do. I'm pretty okay out there with the DJing thing too.
Okay.
All right, but thank you, man. Shout out to DJ Marley 954. Make
That's
sure y'all
dope.
Go out there and follow him.
I like to hear stories all like right. that. Only problem is, there's no way to go but down from here.
Exactly.
No, she can still go up, man.
You start off that high that 6 months because it's gonna come a period where it's gonna be like a little dull period for her, but she just gotta keep going.
She be all right. Keep pushing her. She still got high school. She got college. She'll be all right.
Yeah, she will.
All right, man. Good luck. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes. Tyrese has $50,000 on someone's head. Find out who he's mad at. Also, we'll give you an update on Freeway after undergoing his long-awaited kidney transplant.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, this is getting spicy, all right? There's some new rap beef after Chance the Rapper was in a Flamin' Hot Doritos commercial for the Super Bowl.
I want it that ass.
Ooh, hot stuff all over my nachos, walking like a taco, driving over potholes, hotter than a pot roast, fingers on my hot chips, red-handed, come on, man, I'm gonna need some chopsticks, quietly. And I'ma need another outfit. Flying in a maggot on the wall inside a cockpit. Speaking of desire, man, you preaching to the choir. Man, my tongue is doing fine, but the room is on fire.
Well, Chester Cheetah didn't like that.
Well, and Lil Wayne need to be beefing with Chance the Rapper for copyright infringement. He sounds just like Lil Wayne. He stole Lil Wayne's whole style, delivery, everything on that.
He definitely does sound like Lil Wayne in that. Now, Chester Cheetah had an issue as well.
Who?
Chester Cheetah.
Who the hell is that?
You don't know Chester Cheetah? Hold on, I got this for you because now there's some beef, some Frito-Lay beef. Now, Chester Cheetah said, when I saw that Doritos dropped a Flamin' Hot Nacho flavor, I had to come through and remind them that I'm the Flamin' Hot OG. Listen to this.
Come on, Doritos, you can't rep the Flamin' Hot name. Watch your step, I'm the OG in the snack game. You claim triangle, I made you square. You had to borrow my heat just to make the world care. You got celebs and a remix song, but like a bag of Cheetos, you won't last long. So next time you try to take what I got, remember, I'm Flamin' Hot and you're Flamin' Not.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos versus Flamin' Hot Doritos.
I thought Flamin' was a gay slur.
No.
It was at one point in life.
Well, these are just for Cheetos right now and Doritos. Mm. So
talking about Flamin' Hot.
Yeah, these are Flamin' Hot Doritos.
All I know is they both gonna kill you. Flamin' Hot is not a flavor. All that processed food, mad at each other, rap battling to see who can kill you first. The only thing that is Flamin' Hot is fire. Who in here has ever tasted fire? Exactly.
Why would we taste fire?
That's my point.
But so, I do love really spicy foods all the time.
Flamin' Hot?
But I've never, ever had either one of those. I think I could be on that show, Hot Wings, and be fine because I can eat really spicy hot food.
Oh, I did that show.
Yeah.
I ate all my wings.
Yeah, I don't have any problem. I love that. I love when my mouth is on fire.
Oh,
all right.
Whoa.
Dropping the clues bombs for Andy.
I like my food really spicy.
Andy, should have had you at the fire festival.
The spicier, that the
water,
better.
That water would have came through.
Immediately.
Who needs Andy when you got Angela?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, now,
whoa.
Tyrese versus Tory Lanez. How did this all happen? Well, Tyrese previewed a new song, and Tory Lanez had some words for it. Now, here it is.
Finally caught a vibe.
Dope. Hands are laying me down to sleep. Down to sleep. Hands are laying me down to sleep.
That's a prayer, right? He's saying he's rapping a prayer.
Well, yeah, that's some new previews that Tyrese has been doing on Instagram. Well, Tory Lanez, I guess, wasn't feeling it. Check it out.
Oh, God, like, nah, Tyrese, I don't know what the you talking about, son. Calm down. You about to be under investigation.
Tory Lanez versus Tyrese when it comes to R&B. Tyrese got that. Tory Lanez versus Black Tie and rap. Tory Lanez got that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you give it to Tory Lanez.
In rap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tory versus Black Tie, I'm giving that to Tory all day long.
Well, Tyrese wants to know who has the better album, Full Album Smoke, 50K on your head, in or nah? That's what he wrote on his Instagram story.
It just depends. Like, if it's R&B, I'm going to go with Tyrese. Like, just strictly R&B, that's Tyrese's lane all day. But rap, Tory versus Black Tie, Tory.
Tory does R&B, but yeah. He ain't not messing with Tyrese when it comes to that.
Not R&B.
No.
All right, now let's send our prayers out to Freeway. He had to check into a Baltimore hospital for surgery. He got his long-awaited kidney transplant, and his manager did provide an update saying that it was a success. He is now in recovery, and he has thanked everyone for all their prayers. So shout out to our guy, Freeway.
God bless Freeway.
Yes, give it up for Freeway.
All praise due to Allah. Happy for that brother dropping the clues bomb for Freeway. If you a woman from Philly or a guy from Philly and you ever danced or rocked the mic at your prom and you didn't say salute to Freeway yesterday, you going to die.
Whoa, come on now.
You're going to choke on a tasty cake.
Yeah, now, Freeway had this to say.
Thank y'all for all the prayers and all the support. Everything went well. The surgery went well. I got the new kidney. The doctor said everything's fine.
All right.
Dropping the Freeway. Freeway. Taylor's from Philly. That's one of our producers. Did you salute Freeway?
She said she liked the picture.
No, you got to shout him out.
Shout out to Freeway.
Shout out to Freeway.
You did your first slow dance to No Better Love by the Young Guns. That's state property. The least you could do is salute Freeway.
I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. We're talking about your president?
Yes, your president had his State of the Union. I know your eyes were glued to the television last night.
All right. We'll talk about it when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. All the Wizards fans out there watching the Wizards, I know you might be a little upset. John Wall, it looks like he will be out 12 months. They're saying that he slipped in his house and he ruptured in his Achilles, so he will be out for 12 months.
That's a bad slip.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's horrible.
Especially the slip in your house. I'd rather, like, you know, slip on the court like you want to get hurt in the line of duty. You know what I'm saying?
You don't get hurt at all.
You don't want to get hurt at all, but if you do, you want to get hurt in the line of duty just walking around your crib, because now I'm sure people are questioning him like, oh, how do we know he really fell in his house?
Did he really slip? Was he riding a motorcycle?
What was he really doing exactly? Was he doing something that where we don't have to pay him his money?
Right.
Even though I think he's guaranteed regardless.
Yeah. What else are we talking about,
you? Well, yesterday was Donald Trump's second State of the Union address. And it's also just weeks after the longest shutdown that we've had in the United States history. And we also have another funding lapse coming up, so we don't know whether or not there's going to be another shutdown. Anyway, in the midst of all that, Donald Trump had his State of the Union address. And here are some of the things that he said. He wants there to be unity within the government.
We must choose between greatness or gridlock, results or resistance, vision or vengeance, incredible progress or pointless destruction. Tonight, I ask you to choose greatness.
All right. In addition to that, he, of course, had to push home his point about border security.
In the past, most of the people in this room voted for a wall, but the proper wall never got built. I will get it built. Congress has 10 days left to pass a bill that will fund our government, protect our homeland, and secure our very dangerous southern border. I have ordered another 3,750 troops to our southern border to prepare for this tremendous onslaught.
You know what I'd like to know about border security? What do they have now? Like, what's there now? Like, what's
they do have security there now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just not a wall.
It's not a wall. Yeah, they have security, though.
Yeah, they have thousands of people at the borders. All right, now, he also had one point that everybody, I think, can agree on, and that was the point about women in Congress.
And exactly one century after Congress passed the constitutional amendment giving women the right to vote, we also have more women serving in Congress than at any time before.
Well, that's good news, right? But a lot of that is the reaction to Donald Trump being president. Now, Van Jones had this to say about Donald Trump's speech.
I saw this as a psychotically incoherent speech with cookies and dog poop. He tries to put together in the same speech these warm, kind things about humanitarianism and caring about children. At the same time, he is demonizing people who are immigrants in a way that was appalling.
Okay, Van, you keep that rhetoric up. There ain't going to be no second step, all right? In fact, that first step you took, we're going to tell you to take that one back, all right?
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right. By the way, I thought Trump's speech was solid. I don't believe a word he says, but I thought it was solid.
Whoever wrote it?
I wasn't expecting much. And, I mean, he had extra time to prepare because, you know, he had the whole government shutdown and whatnot, but I thought it was cool. It wasn't as entertaining as I would have actually liked, to be honest.
Well, what you like better, the Trump speech or the Super Bowl?
I think he's one of the best stand-up comics in the world today. I didn't really, you know,
well, you didn't laugh too much. Chuckle.
Mm-mm.
Super Bowl was better.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl, so I don't know. I was at my daughter's cheerleading competition.
No. All right. All right, well, when we come back, author, pastor Devon Franklin will be joining us.
Franklin.
Shout out to Devon Franklin, man. I was with him last night. You're with him today, right, Charlamagne?
Yes, I got to fly to Chicago for the day, and we're doing an event. Don't ask me anything else because I don't know. I just know I'm in Chicago for the day.
Okay.
I'm doing an event with Devon Franklin.
Well, you'll enjoy
this. It's about mental health and, you know, growing as a man, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll kick it with him when we come back, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My man Devon Franklin is here. Good morning,
yo,
sir.
Yo, man. Good morning. Good morning. How you feeling?
He's got a new book called The Truth About Men, What Men and Women Need to Know. Mm. Can I read some of these chapters, Yee, before we start?
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Are men really dogs? Chapter 1, beware the dog. Chapter 2, accept the dog. Chapter 3, master the dog. Chapter 4, don't feed the dog. Chapter 5, claim your territory. Chapter 6, discipline the dog.
Okay,
Chapter 7,
Charlamagne.
Create a safe space. Chapter 8, repair the damage. What are you saying about the brothers, Devon? What are you saying about us?
Man, I'm saying that we got to do our work. What I'm saying is that every man struggles. And so when you look at this, of course I'm not calling men dogs at all. You know, I put in the introduction, men are not dogs, but we can behave like one when we allow the dog in us. And I believe that every man has a dog. And that's an analogy. It's a metaphor for lust. And that's a selfish impulse for professional, sexual, financial gain by any means necessary, even if those means are detrimental. So when you read all those chapters, I use this analogy that if we as men can master the dog, which means putting love in control of lust, Love is sacrificial, meaning love of self, love of God, love of the woman in our life. Lust is selfish. It demands to be fed whenever it starts to quote unquote bark. But when we as men put love in control of lust, selflessness in control of selfishness, then we begin to learn how to master this thing that all men have that you cannot eradicate, but you can master it. So all those chapter titles are just steps on how to do it.
Let me tell you
but
something. So all you guys have a dog within you, basically.
Let me tell y'all something.
You have a dog within you.
Let me tell you both something.
You just have to master your dog.
Let me tell you both something.
What?
You're absolutely right. Okay?
Right. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not going to argue with you. When you're right, you're right.
Right.
Okay? Right. I feel like, you know, I've heard Minister Farrakhan say that you have to turn the dog around. You have to be, we're God. We're divine beings.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to turn that dog around. We're gods.
Yes. Well, yes. It's true, but so often as men, we become so accustomed to the ways of the dog in our life, you know, selfishness, putting our own needs above everyone else, that it becomes hard to be aware that instead of God controlling our lives, it's the dog controlling our life. Mm. So the beginning part is awareness. Hey, I got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Mm-hmm. I got to be better.
Yes.
And I got to do better. And I got to become more accountable and responsible for my behavior as a man.
You even talk about writing this book, right? What even made you do this? Maria Shriver, you said you had an interview and she said, you need to write a book about this. But it was a lot for you to have to be introspective about issues that you've had within yourself.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't want to write this book, you know, because I believe as men, we don't like to look in the mirror. And I don't like to look in the mirror. And I didn't have, to write this book, it required me to be transparent. Mm-hmm. And I can't encourage everybody else to be transparent if I'm not going to be transparent. So Maria Shriver, you know, prompted me because I had pitched her what this idea was. She said, you need to do it now. But the idea was already there. And one of the reasons why I wanted to write this book is because of pain. And I believe as men, we inflict so much pain on the lives of women. Mm. And women are in so much pain relative to our behavior. And one of the things that was very personal to me was my father. My father died when I was 9 years old of a heart attack when he was 36, at 36 years old. And so, you know, we grew up, he was an alcoholic. But it wasn't until my teenage years where I found a picture of him, my mother, and a female family member sitting on a bed. And my mother was looking distraught. Mm. But my father and that female family member were looking very happy. And I said, what's going on here? Why is my mother in so much pain? Come to find out, my father and that female family member had an affair. And so I began to say, well, wait a minute. If my father, you know, had an affair with someone else in my family and caused that kind of pain to my mother, what does that say about me? And I began to ask the question, can men be faithful? Can we? And when I would ask the women in my family, they would say 99% of all men cheat. Mm-hmm. And so as a kid, I'm like, is this true? And I said, well, what do I have to do to become the 1%? And what I began to realize as part of becoming the 1% was acknowledging that, yo, I'm part of the problem too. If I don't do my work, if I don't recognize I have this thing in me that wants what it wants, whatever it wants it, if I don't learn to master that, I then, no matter how much I love my wife, and I love her to death, all right, and I am completely faithful, but if I think that I don't have to do my work, one day I will do something that will cause the same pain that my mother had in my wife's Lord, eyes if I don't mercy. Do my work.
You have no idea how much you preach it to the choir right now. Like, I've been with my woman for 20 years. We both done dirt over the past 20 years, but I've been completely faithful since like 2016. Like, I made that choice for that exact same reason. Because I was like, I do not want to cause my family the same pain that my father caused my mom and our family.
There it is, man. There it is. And so much of us as men, you know, our struggle is so much directly related to our fathers. And a lot of us, especially in communities of color, were raised without fathers, or the fathers that we had may not have been everything we wanted. And so a lot of times, you know, especially I know for me, you know, I grew up with a lot of brokenness because society says this is what men are supposed to be. You're supposed to be strong. You're supposed to be tough. You're not supposed to cry. And
you're supposed to get a lot of vagina.
Right. And if you don't do any of those things, most of the time growing up, we're met with violence. So what do we learn? Do not talk. Don't communicate. Suppress. But anything we suppress, we empower to destroy us. That's why this lust can get so strong, because we're not talking about it, we're not being honest about it, and what does it do? It finds a way to come out in the most detrimental and usually destructive ways, and a lot of times women are on the receiving end of this.
And a lot of times women are programmed to think, well, I have to deal with this type of behavior from my man, because like you said, 99% of men cheat, and women really believe that. So they're like, well, at least he treats me good in every other way.
Where y'all getting this number from?
Well, no, he said he asked in the book, he said he asked
family members. I'm not saying that's a rule of fact.
No, women in their heads. If you ask women, they think all men cheat.
Yeah.
And so, like, we've had this discussion many times on Lip Service. A woman like, well, men always cheat anyway. I don't know any man who doesn't cheat. So it kind of makes it normalized, that type of behavior, where that's just what it is.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to write the book, because the book is not just for men. It's for women, too. Because women are dealing with something and dealing with someone they do not understand. And so if you don't understand something, your odds of becoming successful with it are very, very low. So I wrote this book to illuminate truth about men so women can get it. But when a woman makes the decision that I will live less than what I believe I'm worth just to be with a man and accept him however he is, I believe that one of the reasons why I wrote this book is for women to read it and say, you know what, I'm going to stop today. I'm going to challenge him on his behavior. Even if he leaves me, guess what? He was going to leave anyway. Because today begins a day of respect mm-hmm. and a day of love. And I'm not just going to be a doormat for a man's ways. And what I talk about in the book, men need women to master this dog. We need, you talk about you've been with your woman for 20 years. I guarantee you or I would not be the men that we are if we didn't have the love of a woman in our life.
Damn right.
But that's a love of a woman that we allow into our process. I think sometimes women think they can master the man's dog for him. You can't do that. But the love of a woman can help. But it starts with respect. And as men, when the woman in our life doesn't respect us, she allows us just to do whatever we want. And even though men don't like to be told what to do, we do need to be held accountable.
All right, we have more with author and pastor Devon Franklin. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have author and pastor Devon Franklin in the building. Yee.
For some people, I will say this. They feel like in a relationship, you have to go through so many things to get to that point. Like you have to go through, if you've been together for a while, the lying, the cheating, the breaking up, the getting back together for your relationship to be strong. How do you know when it's time to say, okay, it's time to walk away. This isn't working, or it's time for us to work on each other because this can be rectified?
You know, I get this question a lot, and I wish that the process with men was less messy. You know, a lot of it has to do with our brokenness, and a lot of it has to do with how we're raised. So what you're articulating is a truth of many relationships, that there's a lot of mess before you can get to a place where everything is good. What I will say is that sometimes the only thing a man will understand, and this dog and a man will understand, is pain. And the pain of the absence of the woman that he loves. And sometimes that work.
You gotta walk away.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yo, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes women stay too close.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta step away. And let me tell you, the man who really has the master and is in touch with the master in themselves, when the woman they love steps away, it's a catalyst for change. And so that absence, and this is one of the things a lot of times in my experience when women come to me for counseling, they don't want to do this. They don't want to take a step away. And I say, listen, I know you love him, right? But sometimes the best way to love him is from afar. I love you so much that I can't stay here and be treated less than I know I'm worth.
Now, you say in the book, I've been in the church my whole life, and I can say that no one, and I mean no one, teaches men how to deal with our urges. It's kind of mind-blowing. We can talk about the fruits of the Spirit, how to pray, how to preach, and how to sing praises, but rarely do we get real talk about how to deal with the dog.
Yeah. Listen, when I confronted my father for cheating back in the day, and you know what my father said to me? My father looked at me dead in my eye and goes, you only got one girlfriend? He said,
no way.
He said, one day you're going to understand.
Wow.
So in my mind, he started making me feel like something was wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because I only had one girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, to just expand on that, then you also talk about your own transparency. And you said, after I married Megan, I caught myself looking at another woman. It was very casual, and I almost did it without thinking. Then I caught myself and thought, what are you doing? I had no desire for this woman. I was not interested in her in the least, but I found myself checking her out almost instinctively.
That's normal.
Now, what is some.
You got a pulse, right? Let me check your pulse.
Yeah, man, we alive, right?
Now, but let's talk about.
But let's unpack both of those. This is really important. Mm-hmm. So the first part, you know, I was raised in the church. In the church, a lot of times, there's a culture of suppression because we don't talk about, okay, everybody gets horny. Everybody has urges. How do you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
No matter how holy, no matter how saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost any of us may be, it doesn't stop what happens in our flesh. So in the church, a lot of times, it's just like, don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But anything we don't talk about, it's going to grow. So I wanted to say, listen, let's take the veil. Let's start speaking this truth. And so the whole point about Megan, you know, which blew me away is like, hey, I thought, oh, I'm getting married. It's going to put the dog to sleep. For a couple months, I was good. But then all of a sudden, I talk about that in the book. You know, I started looking at this other woman. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I don't want to be unfaithful to my wife. So I first had to get to the place where I was like, yo, I got this thing in me. I wish I didn't have this dog. It's here. Now what am I going to do about it? Now, once I acknowledge it, I can actually begin the process of mastery so that when a thought or feeling comes on me, I don't, you know, get crazy. I'm like, okay, cool, it's there, but I'm not going to let that thought grow.
The guilt of it, like knowing you did something wrong, you bring that energy into the house and then you start looking at her sideways like, what is she doing? Mm-hmm. Nah, bro, it's you.
It's us. Yeah. No, that guilt. But I think, you know, Charlamagne, you're at a point where you are focused on mastery. And a lot of men yet aren't there. And that's why I wanted to write this book to say, hey, you know what? We have to get to a place where that guilt bothers us. Mm. So first of all, it's having enough awareness where you begin to say, hey, if somebody was doing this to my mother or my sister or my daughter, would I accept it as a man? Mm. And if the answer is no, then as men, we should not perpetuate that same pain on someone else's sister, mother, or daughter, right? Because that guilt is so powerful when we love somebody and we've seen that hurt in their eyes. We never want to see it again, and that guilt can be convicting.
How old were you when you started doing your work?
You know, was going to wait until marriage for sex. Didn't when I got in senior year in high school. And I pretty much was not celibate for about 4 or 5 years, you know, while I was in college. And then coming out of college, I decided to be celibate. But even though I was celibate, I still wasn't a good dater. And I really didn't start doing my work probably until my late 20s when I had this vision. You know, it was literally like this vision from God where I was at the altar of my wedding. And the minister said, look behind you. And when I looked behind me, down the aisle were all the women I had dated. Mm. But they were all cut open. And their bodies were littered down the aisle.
Oh, my gosh.
And God said, do you think it was worth all of their hearts to get here? And that vision, my late 20s, it startled me so much. I said, I've got to do it. I've got to put more intention in my dating. If I'm not serious about her, I've got to tell her.
What's interesting is the celibacy, right? You said actually helped you flourish in your career.
Absolutely.
Because you're focused.
And disciplined. If a man can get disciplined in this area of sex, there is nothing the man cannot do.
Now I want to ask you about pornography, because you addressed this in the book. And you feel that pornography is harmful to relationships. And some people clearly do get addicted to porn, and that's harmful. But do you think that casually watching porn shouldn't be done?
I don't think it should be done, because in the book I have a whole thing about the one you feed. And so within us, you have to feed the master of the dog. I call vice dog food. I call virtue soul food. And I would put porn in the category of dog food because that's what it is. It's vice. And also, I have this fascinating research that I came across about Japan. In Japan, they the pornography problem is so extreme in Japan that when they bring men and women, young men and women together in a social setting, they don't even engage one another. So as a result, the birth rate is declining. Because they are so fixated on these fantasy worlds that's how they are becoming accustomed
to. They have those realistic dolls and everything.
Yeah. So I do believe that porn is dangerous. I do believe that even a casual, it's like, you eat bad food. Oh, you know, well, once in a while. No, I think that it can be a slippery slope. And the reality is, of course, everybody deals with that differently. But I would say as a rule, that's why I put in the book, that is something to be really looked at and to be managed so that you don't get into a situation where it manages you.
So you can manage it. You just can't overdo it. Like, is it because I think some people learn a lot of tricks from porn.
but here's the thing. But this is also where the dog runs wild, because
you
look at something that is not real.
That's right. Tell them, Devon. Those big penises you see on pornos are not real.
They're not real. Okay. You can't do it. So a lot of times you see these images and you think, oh, I'll learn some tricks. But what it does is it creates an unrealistic expectation of what intimacy really looks like. And that can be destructive, especially when you're trying to practice that intimacy with the person you love.
Nobody having hours of sex? Somebody having 2 hours of sex? That's not happening.
What about masturbation? Because you talk about
I talk about that as well. It's something you really got to look at, because again, I put that in the category of feeding the dog, right? And anytime the dog is well fed, it makes it harder for the master and a man to be strong enough.
I thought masturbation was healthy.
Listen, I'm not a psychologist.
I call that tranquilizing the dog. Okay, when you're out of town.
I'm not a psychologist or therapist. But that's why I put manage it, you know. And everybody has to wrestle with that thing. Everybody has to
wrestle with
it.
I definitely wrestle with it.
I'm not saying that, Charlamagne.
Trust me, when I'm out of town and my wife ain't with me, I wrestle with it, okay? That happens.
Transparency, truth, I love it.
Who normally wins that match?
We don't want to know. Angela, we don't want to know.
The truth about men, go get this book, man. I think it's very important for us brothers to do the work. Thank you, my brother.
My man.
All right, thank you to Devon Franklin for joining us. Now don't move. We got rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Yes, indeed.
Now, shout out to Devon Franklin for joining us this morning.
Yes. I'm sure he pissed off a lot of guys this morning. They riding in their car with their ladies, like, hey, all men ain't dogs. I don't know what he's talking about.
He's not saying that men are dogs. He just uses the metaphor of how a dog trainer trains dogs for you to train yourself.
Yeah, and we all have that nature. You can either submit to your higher nature, which is the God in you, or submit to your lower nature, which is the devil in you, or dog in you, whatever you want to call it.
What do you mean train? I missed it because I was in Atlanta. What do you mean when you said train?
It's basically, you know, all us trash-ass dudes, the trash-ass dudes we used to be, mm-hmm. we got to train ourselves not to be that. That's all.
Right. Basically, master the dog within you. So, in other words, instead of operating on lust and desire, operate from a higher place.
He's wilding talking about not masturbating, though.
But he said he don't masturbate?
Yeah, he said
and
he
no
doesn't.
Porn
he wilding, okay? Because you know when you out of town, you ain't got your boo with you. That's the only way to tranquilize.
You gotta let one go.
You gotta tranquilize the dog. You know what I'm saying? You gotta tranquilize that dog, man.
Well, everybody's circumstance is different, and so that's.
You say everybody's circumcised different.
No.
What?
Circumstance.
Oh.
Is different. You know what I said?
Why did he say masturbation was wrong?
You gotta read the book.
Yeah, read the book.
It's he didn't explain it.
He just talks about a slippery slope.
That's funny. That's funny.
I love a slippery slope.
That's
when
funny. What?
All right. Well, and I did have Devon Franklin doing my book club yesterday, so that was dope. A lot of people had some great questions. Today I'm doing Angie Thomas's On the Come Up book. I've been reading a lot of books lately, and she wrote The Hate U Give, which got adapted into a movie. And they did just announce that her book On the Come Up is actually going to be a movie as well. So congratulations to her.
Dope.
Yeah. Nice.
So I'll be with her tonight. And I think there's still a few tickets available if anybody wants to come to that.
All right. Well, we got the rumors coming up next.
Oh, man, yes. We are going to be talking about, I was going to talk about that. But a TV show that you guys love that they canceled, but there is a finale that's a movie, and we have that trailer for you.
Okay, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Liam Neeson.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, there's a lot of backlash for Liam Neeson right now. He got Donkey of the Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, he has all red carpet interviews canceled for his movie Cold Pursuit that he's been promoting. None of the cast is going to actually be doing any red carpet interviews for that movie, and that's a decision that was made by the film studio, which is Lionsgate.
Why the whole cast got to suffer because Liam Neeson's stupid?
I don't know. I guess they feel like this story is just too big. It's kind of overshadowing the actual movie now.
Absolutely. I didn't know he had a movie coming up.
Yeah, what's the
now,
name of the movie?
Original Cold Pursuit. The original, what he said originally was this.
She told me she had been raped, but she handled the situation of the rape. I asked, did she know who it was? No. What color were they? She said it was a black person. I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him.
Whew. That's awful. And then yesterday we played this clip, and yesterday was also what would have been Trayvon Martin's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Yeah, that's what sucked about it. Trayvon would have been 24 yesterday, and Trayvon was killed by a fat bastard named George Zimmerman, who was looking at all black men the way Liam was. He was looking at all black men one way, and he wanted to murder a black man.
And that could have went... God forbid something would have happened, and he would have came across a black man, he would have ended up killing him, according to what he had to say. Now, he's been trying to do what seems like damage control, right? He went on Good Morning America and said this.
I'm not racist. I should have said an Irish or a Scot or a Brit mm-hmm. or a Lithuanian. I know I would have had the same effect. I was trying to show honor to my stand up for my dear friend in this terrible medieval fashion.
All right, he goes on to talk about what would have happened.
Do you think you actually would have done it if innocent black man
yes.
who had nothing to do?
Yeah, I know. That was my feeling, that I did want to lash out. And I admit that. And it's a learning curve.
But what are you hoping that people will learn from you making these statements?
To talk, to open up, to talk about these things, you know? We all pretend we're all kind of, you know, politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this country, it's the same in my own country too. You sometimes just scratch the surface and you discover this racism, and it's there.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the honesty. We all have to unlearn the BS we have learned. I just don't know if you can unlearn racism.
You can.
It just seems so deep-rooted.
It is deep-rooted, but I think once you... It's so many different things that you hear about somebody else, and then when you actually learn and speak to them, things can change.
That's what I was saying.
This ignited a whole discussion on Twitter because Terry Crews said, "I believe that every person on earth is capable of the greatest good or unspeakable evil. Liam is just describing his fork in the road." Now, people got upset. Wale was one person that said, nope, Liam is trash. We're losing brothers all the time because of this proverbial fork, nah, fam. And then Terry Crews said, what are we going to do? And Wale said, I know what we're not going to do, Terry. So there you go.
What are we not going to do?
Go out and kill black people that are innocent.
Oh, okay. And, y'all don't know.
And excuse people's behavior and the words that they say that could be harmful to innocent people.
Yeah, but, you know, when it comes to stereotyping, when it comes to profiling, when it comes to biases, when it comes to prejudging, a lot of us, we have that mentality because of what we've been taught over the years, and we've never even had a conversation with the people that we feel this way about. So what if you have a conversation with the person and you're like, damn, I was seeing this group of people in the wrong way.
Liam said he would deliberately go into black areas in the city looking to be set upon. He said it shocked him and it hurt him. And he did seek help. He went to go see a priest.
He can never change ever.
I think people can change.
I'm not saying, listen, we hope that
people. I don't know
about
him, but I think people can change.
But that was just an awful thing to say, especially because there's so many innocent black men that have nothing to do with anything that are getting killed.
Oh no! I agree, to put that energy out there,
that sounds crazy.
I agree with that totally.
But all right.
I don't know. I don't know about racism, but people can grow and evolve.
Whew. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about Being Mary Jane. Now, I know you guys love that show. People were very upset when it was canceled. Well, BET has released a trailer because you know they're doing the finale as a movie.
Mary Jane, will you marry me? I love you, Pauletta Patterson.
Please don't settle.
Pauletta, baby, it's time.
You excited to see the Being Mary Jane movie? Nobody?
I never watched Being Mary Jane.
You guys were on it. Well, not really, but mentioned.
They mentioned us.
Oh, no.
I'm dropping the clues bombs for Being Mary Jane and BET. I just never watched it. I know people enjoy it, but I never watched it.
Me neither.
All right, well, people are excited, FYI. Okay. I'm excited. All right, now, Cardi B, how much does it cost to be Cardi B? Well, she revealed in a Twitter video that she spends about $250,000 to $300,000 a month for her lifestyle. Check it out.
You know what I hate? I hate when celebrities do something very extravagant, buy something very luxurious. There's people in the comments like, you could have donated that, or we going backwards, you could have done this and that with your money. And it's like, who are you to tell people what to do with their hard-working ass money? First of all, do you know the IRS, out of every check that you make, they automatically take 45% of your check? Then like an artist like me and a lot of rappers that I know, they literally take care of their whole family. On top of that, my bills is like, I'll say about $300,000, $250,000 every single month.
What's she saying wrong?
She's right. I'm just giving
you the information about how much she ends up having to spend on taking care of her family every single month. That's a lot of money and responsibility. You know what, though? It's a good idea sometimes to put your family on payroll because then it's more manageable. It is a write-off. And if you're giving them money anyway, then it's kind of like a steady check and they can't really ask you for, they shouldn't ask you for more than that if you put them on payroll, because I've worked places where people had their family members on payroll. So it's just a good idea.
Yeah, she's right. Between security, between traveling, between nannies, between stylists, between makeup.
Employees.
And between employees, between managers.
You're
between
running a
agents,
whole business.
Between all that, yeah, she spends a lot of money. And I would say Cardi B is probably one of the people that I know that tries to do things. Like, she tries to fly regular all the time and she gets noticed all the time. She tries not to do private. She tries.
Well, she said with the baby, she does end up having to fly private a lot.
Yeah, so it costs money.
The moral
of the story is, she posted about that. She said she has a publicist, stylist, makeup artist, security, babysitter, business management. She said, I have a baby, so it's a must to take a private jet when she moves. When I'm required to work in L.A., just on rent is about $30,000 a month. Drivers, and that's not including rent and mortgage of homes in New York and Atlanta and investment properties.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Cardi got a lot of investments, and I've been talking to her about her investments, and we've been doing some things. But yeah, Cardi got a lot of investments. She's not stupid at all.
The moral of the story is, don't tell me what to do with my goddamn money.
There you go.
Okay, this is my bread, all right?
Check.
I'm the one that got to pay the taxes on this money.
You're right.
Okay, this is mine, and I'm going to do what I want with it, period.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you,
Ms. I ain't got none,
though. I ain't got none.
I'm broke, baby.
right, Charlamagne.
Yes.
We giving that dog.
Listen, man, let's have a conversation about the male fragile ego. The male's ego is so fragile. And Calvin Wilkins fell victim to a fragile ego.
All right.
We'll talk about it for after the hour.
We'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
You don't need snow to have an adult snow day. Head to eBay this winter and make the most of your money shopping eBay deals with our best price guarantee. Plus, free shipping on millions of items. If it's happening on your adult snow day, it's happening on eBay.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
Charlamagne the devil?
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, February 6th goes to 38-year-old Calvin Wilkins of Memphis, Tennessee. Now, Calvin was not with Cap this past Sunday because him and his compadres decided to have a Super Bowl party. I can't lie. I enjoy a good Super Bowl party. Food at Super Bowl parties, it's very underrated. Okay, when we discuss great holiday eating, we don't really discuss Super Bowl food. Maybe because we don't look at Super Bowl Sunday as an actual national holiday, but it is an unofficial holiday in America for some. And the combination of beef, a turkey, meatballs, chicken wings, nachos, oh man, those make for some damn good Super Bowl eats, okay? My wife didn't make that this year because we were at my daughter's cheerleading competition this Sunday, but I really enjoy when she makes my favorite Super Bowl foods. I love my wife's cooking in general, okay? There's three people on this planet whose food tastes different simply because it's made with an ingredient you can't buy anywhere, and that ingredient is unconditional love. You only get that ingredient in your food from your wife, your mom, and your grandma. Your big grandma, though. Your mama's mama, okay? Those three right there got a seasoning called love that is better than Lowry's, all right? Basil, oregano, salt, pepper, parsley, beer, all those are great seasonings, but nothing beats that seasoning called unconditional love, which can only come from your wife, mom, or your mama's mama. Now, I want to ask the married men in the room a question. Who in here married? Just you, Envy?
Just me and you.
Okay.
Eddie is too.
And those out there listening, feel free to talk back to the radio. Is there a patriarchy when it comes to how food is served in your crib? Meaning if your wife cooks, okay, as a man, do you expect for your plate to get fixed first by your wife, or do you make your own plate? How does it go down for you, Envy?
In my house, it depends. Usually, my wife decides who eats first.
Okay.
Usually, if the kids are there, the kids will get their plate first because they need to eat first.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Sometimes it's me. It doesn't matter. We don't really care. We don't really stress
out.
Yeah,
as a man, you don't expect for her to make your plate and feed you first.
No.
Eddie, what about you?
Either or, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Same here. I got three kids in the house, so I expect for their plates to be made first. Let the kids eat. I can fix my own plate.
Mm-hmm.
But I do prefer for my wife to make my plate, only because when a woman fixes your plate, it's organized better. Okay, it's just the right amount of everything on the plate. The plate is rationed out properly with the proper portions of everything.
That is true.
I can't describe it, but when you have had your plate fixed by your mom, wife, or grandma, your mama's mama, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I want to ask the men in the room another question.
Yes.
If your wife or girlfriend fixed somebody else a plate of food before you, would you feel away?
Yes.
You would feel
it. Yeah, wow. If it wasn't my kids or my family members.
Yeah.
Yes, if it's just some dude that's saying you fix Tony a plate before you fix me,
I
might feel a little way.
Eddie, would you feel away?
I would feel away.
Yeah, if you was making your man a plate, if you was fixing food, would you make sure your man got served first?
I think in my head, if I would answer that, I would, but I don't know what might happen in real life. I might want to get my mom a plate first or somebody else.
Outside your mom, let's say just another guy was there.
Another random guy? Where are we?
A Super Bowl party.
Let's say a stepbrother.
Okay, somebody related. I don't know if I would think about it that hard, but I think my instinct would be to do his plate first.
Okay. Well, Calvin Wilkins from Memphis, Tennessee, he did feel away, and he made an emotional decision. And what does your Uncle Charlotte always tell you, kids? Move off strategy, not emotion. Because when you move off emotion, things like this happen. Let's go to Fox 13 Memphis for the report, please.
38-year-old Calvin Wilkins was taken into custody. He was charged with the murder of his stepbrother, 28-year-old Isaiah Powell. According to the arrest report, Wilkins' wife turned him in. She says Wilkins was having a Super Bowl party at the house in Whitehaven. She told police her husband got upset with her after she made someone else a plate of food. She says Wilkins became, quote, verbally abusive, so everyone but the two victims left the party. Wilkins' wife told police she received voicemails from the two victims a little after 10:30 Sunday night. She says she heard her husband's voice, a victim, beg for their life, and then gunshots. Wilkins is also charged with attempted murder after police say he shot Sierra Storms multiple times. Her family tells me she's on life support and has no brain activity right now.
What?
Yes, Calvin Wilkins shot up the place because his wife fixed somebody else's plate before him. The male ego is a fragile package, and I feel sorry for women who are in a relationship with men who have not done the work on themselves to have a higher sense of self. Knowledge of self is essential for survival and purpose on this planet. It gives you a sense of confidence that guys like Calvin Wilkins clearly lack, okay? My brother, you are in jail right now, charged with first-degree murder, criminal attempt of first-degree murder, employment of a firearm during a dangerous felony, and being a convicted felon in possession of a handgun, all because your wife made another man, your stepbrother, a plate of wings and some nachos. I'm telling you, male supremacy, the sense of entitlement, that I'm the man, you're my woman, so I deserve to have this power over you. That's what caused Calvin to do this, okay? Brothers be fronting like they so strong, like they so tough, like we don't give a damn about a thing until a small change in our ecosystem happens. Something as simple as your woman fixing a plate for another man, your stepbrother, okay, will set them off. Now, I'm no therapist. I'm just somebody who enjoys therapy, and I'm observing the situation from afar. Calvin suffers from low self-esteem. So when you have a fragile ego and fragile self-esteem, when it comes to people you hold dear to you like your woman, you can have a lot of mental insecurity. And when you have that mental insecurity, man, something as simple as your wife fixing a man another plate can cause you to make a very, very, very terrible emotional decision like Calvin did. Listen, my brothers, we all feel insecure at different times. Our self-esteem can take a hit every now and then, especially when it comes to our ladies. But here's the thing. Just express yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
Not in the way Calvin did. Okay, Calvin could have tucked those emotions for the moment or pulled his wife to the side and simply said, yo, man, you hurt my feelings fixing that man's plate before mine. Okay, if she really loves you, she will understand. All right, it's very important that people know how to talk to their boos, their bays. Okay, it is very useful to talk about your feelings. My brothers, don't be afraid to express your feelings to your woman and double check your own feelings and share your emotions so you don't make mistakes like Calvin did. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby boy. Because being a hard rock with a fragile ego, in the case of Calvin, will take you from being mad at your wife for not making you a plate to possibly being in prison, having someone eat off yours. Mm. Please give Calvin Wilkins the biggest ee-haw.
He should read Devon Franklin's book, The Truth About Men, What Men and Women Need to Know.
Well, I think we can send it to him.
Yeah, he has time.
He has time to read.
He has a lot of time.
I don't think he's going
to
be in a relationship with a woman for a long, 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 long time. But he can learn to treat somebody in jail with the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, he'll be serving other people meals.
Oh, it's somebody going to be eating off his plate. You ain't even got to worry about that.
My goodness.
He's going to be fixing some plates in jail.
All right. Thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. All right. Up next, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
This is Shannon.
Hey, Shannon, what's your question for Yee?
Should I take my baby daddy back?
Okay, why are you not together?
We not together because he recently cheated on me a year ago. And I was pregnant with our third child.
Sheesh.
And he ended up having a possibility baby.
So you don't know yet if that's his baby? The next
one. We don't know yet.
And have you been in contact with this woman?
She always contacted me to get a hold of him, and I'm like, I'm not in y'all situation. She tried to put a restraining order on us. Just she been doing like weird shit. Like I don't talk to her. I don't even know why she tried to put a restraining order on us. We went to court. The judge is looking at her like, bitch, is you crazy? He's like, you need to put a restraint order on her. And I'm like, I don't do all that.
All right, Shannon, so let's back up for a second. So you and your baby father are together?
No, we're not together.
But do y'all live together?
Yeah, we still live together.
So you are kind of, I mean, and you still love him?
Yeah, I still love him. He's the only guy I've been with. We've been together for almost 9 years.
But now there's going to be some messiness if this is indeed his baby. Now, as far as the other woman, right, you can't be mad at her. She's pregnant with a child on the way. If that child is his and he's not communicating.
Oh, she already had the baby.
Oh, she had it. So there's been no paternity test or anything.
Yeah, they just recently, she sent, like, some people to my house with these court orders, and they just recently got a test done. The test should be back here in March. We'll find out in March.
So part of what you want to do is it depended also on whether or not this is his child?
I just don't know if I should take him back, period. Like, right. That is, like, some hurt. I was pregnant, and he went out and did that. But the sad thing is, like, I know why he went out and cheated, because I'm crazy.
Baby, listen, don't blame a man for cheating on you and not being honest. That's not your fault, okay? He could have broken up with you and said it's not working. You can't excuse the fact that it's not your fault ever. You can't say, I understand why he did it. He's wrong, okay?
True.
So don't say, oh, well, I can understand why he cheated. Don't let him brainwash you that way. But...
oh, no. It's a simple fact of, like, I did some real crazy shit. Like, if he did some shit like that, I probably would cheated too. He didn't brainwash me on that one.
Shannon, I'm gonna say, what did you do? I just gotta know.
Oh, I stabbed him.
Oh my God, this sounds like a toxic relationship.
I locked you up.
There's cheating, there's stabbing, there's violence. Are you doing anything, like, as far as the fact that you have kids to raise together, with therapy, like family therapy with him?
That's what his mom told us to do, but I'm just not with
Shannon. I have to say, that's what you have to do. Y'all got kids involved. You guys are violent. There's affairs. There's things going on, and you want to make sure in the future that these things don't happen and learn how to deal with your anger.
Right.
And so the first step I would say for you before you decide if you're taking him back or not is for you to both go to therapy and find out what some of the issues that you have with each other and how to deal with those issues better. Work on that before you decide what decision you're going to make. But you have to do that.
Right, right.
For the sake of your children, do that.
It's so hard. I don't even know.
Listen, the things that are beneficial to you are not always easy.
Right.
And I promise you, it's going to help you as a person, as a mom, as a potential wife. You have to heal that first. And whether or not you guys end up together, this will be great for you.
Right. Right.
All right. So don't make any decisions now, but make the decision to go to therapy. That's the only one you need to make.
Okay.
All right, Shannon. And please check back in and let me know what happens. We want to monitor your progress.
Thank you.
Okay. Don't stab anyone.
I'm done with that. Good. I was angry. Like, I don't know. When I get pregnant, I get angry.
Goodness gracious. All right, mama. Jeez. All right. Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, hit Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We are in the middle of Ask Ye. We have Trey on the line. Trey, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Ye, bro?
So I'm going to the DMV, and I see this bad bone cell come to the door. And I'm like, yo, hey, what's up? What's good? So I get her number, and then I text and I call, and she barely responds. So I'm like, why are you giving me a number if you weren't interested?
Why are you approaching with the hey, yo? Why are you approaching like that, though, bro?
So she responded.
That was in my head. When I was just getting my life.
So she responded at first.
No, I didn't say that out loud. I'm just like, bam, like, wow, look at this. So I approached her, of course, like a gentleman, and said, hey, how you doing? My name is Trey. Do you have a boyfriend? This bill, and she gave me her number, and I texted maybe, a couple of days later, called, she responded every once in a while, and then she'd respond like maybe 8 hours later, and then after a while, just got like dropped. It was like,
well, Trey, maybe she met somebody else, or maybe she, is just not that interested. What are you saying on these text messages and when you call?
Hey, how you doing? Are you interested? When you're available, we've got some time. We can go out to eat, go out to dinner, get to know each other. Your basic stuff. And she'll come back with, oh, well, I worked all day. I'm busy. Oh, I was going to spend some time with my son. And I'm just like, okay.
Trey, she's clearly not interested. But, nothing wrong with checking in every now and then. But I wouldn't have too high expectations for that. And I do want to get some advice. Don't just say, hey, when you have some time, let's do something. Have something specific like, hey, such and such has got a concert here on Thursday and I have tickets. If you want to go, I'd love for you to come.
I did. I said, look, there's a comedy show Friday. If you're interested, I'd like for you to join me. I went through the steps.
Okay.
I don't understand the games of the young ladies.
Well, it's not a game. A game is if she really was responding, but maybe something happened. You don't even know her or what's going on in her life. It could be anything.
Oh, that's a good point.
So just take the loss if she's interested, whatever. If she's not, it just is what it is. There's nothing you could do about it, but it might not necessarily be a game.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, you don't know what's the problem. You don't know if she's met somebody else.
I'll
she's dating
them.
I mean, maybe she thought maybe she would be, and she changed her mind. We're allowed to do that.
Okay. All right.
Just don't send no passive-aggressive text messages. We can't stand those.
Oh, too late. Okay.
Damn it, man.
Because that's annoying. That'll make me never hit somebody back. When you do, well, why did you give me your number? Or, you know, well, I've been trying to reach you. If you're not interested, just say so. I don't like when people do that. Just be polite. Just always be polite. Always be nice if you do decide to hit her up. And just be chill. Because that's a red flag when somebody's already irritated and I don't even know you.
But why give the number if you're not interested? Don't give that false, you know, interest. If you, I mean, just say, nah, you know, I'm not interested initially.
Trey, maybe she at first was and then she didn't like your text messages.
All my texts was good. None of them. It didn't get too bad until like maybe a week later when I see that you responded 8 hours or the next day later. And I'm like, hey, what's up with these games?
Okay, yeah, that's it. You cut off.
Damn it, man. Sorry for you, Trey.
Hey, what's up with these games? I don't even know you. You already got an issue? You got to just be chill.
Yeah, you sound a little crazy, Trey.
No.
Too aggressive. Sound crazy. Okay.
You can't say stuff like that.
I'm scared. Now I think you're a stalker. Now I got to change my number.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right, Trey. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Goodness gracious. All right. Ask
what's up with these games? You don't know what happened. What if somebody in my family died? I'm working on. You don't know what's going on in somebody's life.
You know, what happened if my child got hurt or something?
Right.
I just couldn't get to it right now.
Sheesh.
Oh. All right. Ask ye. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes. Let's talk about 21 Savage. We have another update on what's going on with his situation as far as immigration. We'll tell you what he has to say now.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, isn't it amazing the things that become front page news? Now on CNN, the headline is, Cory Booker says he's in a relationship. Quote, I got a boo. We sat down with Cory Booker, had a pretty long conversation because he announced he's going to be running for president in 2020. This is our first time being able to sit down and talk to him about what kind of policies he wants to implement, what his stand is going to be. And at the end of the interview, Charlamagne did ask him about whether or not he's going to get married. He said, you know, well, let me play it for you.
You would only be like, you'd be like the third president, I think. Third sitting
I think
president.
First of all, there's 2 more years until I might switch. So
he might get
give
married.
Me some time.
Well, I'm speaking into existence.
Speaking into existence. Yeah, yeah. So my girlfriend might listen to this. So
you don't want to. Oh, okay. I'm about to say you don't want to marry somebody now because once you start getting hot, you might become president. She might just want you for that.
No,
to
I
be
got
first lady.
Before I declare president, I'm dating somebody that's really special. So
oh
yeah.
So Cory Booker got a boo.
I got a boo.
Who's his boo though, ye?
Rosario Dawson is the rumor.
Oh, okay.
That's in the article, too, since people think that I make things up
really?
Or tell secret information.
Yeah, I saw a trash article on The Root that this dude named Stephen Crockett Jr. wrote, and it said, Senator Cory Booker has a girlfriend now. Can we stop talking about his dating life? And he was referencing our Breakfast Club interview and saying how, you know, nobody wants to talk about policies and voter suppression or things that are important. You just want to talk about the relationship. That was literally
one question
in a 40-minute interview.
At the very end.
At the very end. So clearly somebody didn't watch the whole interview, Stephen Crockett Jr. I think that was
But the truth is he would be Stephen Crockett. The only third bachelor, like you said, to be elected to the White House. And that is something that is a story in itself because for some reason people feel like in order to be in the White House, you have to be married. And I like what he had to say about that as well. And we also did discuss why your personal life and things like that, unless it's something questionable that you've done, shouldn't even matter when it comes to your running for office. And we discussed all of that in the interview.
Well, Stephen Crockett Jr. from The Root said nobody
should. He must have only seen the clip, and that happens a lot.
Yes, and he said nobody should be talking about Cory Booker's dating life unless, of course, he's dating Rihanna because she'd make a fabulous first lady.
What does that have to do with anything?
He contradicted his whole stuff. That's why I say the article's trash. He contradicted his whole stuff.
Unless it's Rihanna.
Did you read the whole article?
Yes, of course. Oh, okay. That's how I got to the end of that.
Who's the very last
thing he wrote. He probably didn't listen to the interview. He just heard
he saw the clip.
The CNN interview.
Exactly.
I mean, the CNN story. All right, 21 Savage. Now let's discuss this. His people have just put out a statement, and they believe that the motives for ICE are corrupt. They said many have speculated as to possible ulterior motives for his arrest and detention, including that he released music 5 days prior to his arrest by ICE, which included new lyrics condemning the behavior of immigration officials for their detention of children at the border. And that's the song A Lot.
Been through some things, but I couldn't imagine my kids stuck at the border. Flint still need water. People was innocent, couldn't get lawyers.
All right, so he said, been through some things, so I can't imagine my kids stuck at the border. So I guess 21 Savage, under his residency in the United States, because he's been here since he was, 7 years old?
Five or seven.
Oh, five or seven. He's eligible to seek cancellation of removal from an immigration judge. And, you know, I've spoken a lot about the Dreamers and the kids who have grown up in this country and have been here since they were young, and this is all they know. And we have to make sure that they're able to stay here legally. So they feel like in front of an immigration judge, he would be able to stay. And he did apply in 2017 for a U visa. So that's why they had his address and that information as well.
That man got three kids here. That man paid taxes here. That man does a lot for the community in Atlanta.
He's been here since five.
He's been here since five years old. He went through all the grade school. Like, there's absolutely no reason for 21 Savage to be in the current situation that he's in. Now, and to keep him incarcerated, like, he actually committed a crime.
Now, yes, according to his manager, he's been spending 23 hours a day in lockup, and his only communication is 10-minute phone calls.
What did he, like, he didn't even commit a crime. Like, nope. It's not like they arrested him because he committed a murder or some type of assault. Like, he was in a random traffic stop.
You know, it's interesting because there's so many people that are being detained in a similar fashion, and now we're all aware of it because of 21 Savage, and it's been an ongoing situation that's been happening here in the United States.
I think 21's going to, you know, end up being a poster child for this the same way Meek is for prison reform. So like I say, always say, sometimes things happen to you so God can work through you.
Now, Charlamagne, we saw you post the Boondocks comics. It's back, right? And you posted a message from Aaron Magruder. Did these for fun and to see if I still could. So tell us the backstory of that.
Oh, Aaron Magruder's back doing the Boondocks comic strip.
Wow, that
was the first time Aaron's done it in like a decade or so.
That was informative.
I mean, Aaron's my guy. Aaron Magruder's a genius.
I mean, I thought Charlamagne would give us some inside some more details, scoop some other inside. Than what we all saw.
He said it in the caption. He felt like doing some Boondocks sketches. You know, if you realize, if you know, he stopped doing the sketches because he felt like he didn't have anything else to say. So I guess now he has a lot to say because of everything that we've been seeing the past couple of years, you know, due to the Trump administration. So I put those Boondocks comic scripts out yesterday because Aaron asked me to. And I think Aaron is a genius.
Okay.
And that's my guy. And I support him in anything that he does.
Okay.
Well, and last thing, R. Kelly, he has announced that he's touring. So he's going to be going on a tour.
Where's he going?
Ain't in America. I know that much.
Australia, New Zealand, and Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I figured that.
He do know they got the internet, right?
Let's see what we can happen.
Some promoter must have paid for it already if they announced the dates.
And he posted that on his Instagram page. New tour alert.
Didn't I hear something like Philly banned them from coming to the city or something like that? Did I hear that?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Philly can just ban them? You can never come down the city?
Fly zone.
I think all states that start with the letter P should ban R. Kelly.
No way. You're fast, man. You're just fast, saying, man. You're quick.
If you're a state that starts with P, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is PP, so they definitely should ban R. Kelly. Cool.
You're quick. All right. Thank you, Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. All right, Revolt. We'll see you later. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Let's go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's Black History Month. What are we doing? Who are we representing today, Charlamagne?
Today, in honor of Bob Marley's Born Day, we turn to a new Black History Month legend who once starred in a movie called I Am Legend. Remember when Will Smith played the character Robert Neville and Robert had to school Anna Montez on the greatness of Bob Marley because Anna had zero clue? Well, if you don't remember, or if you don't know, here's your chance to learn. Will Smith is Robert Neville, waxing poetically about the late, great Bob Marley.
The Breakfast Club presents a new Black History Month legend.
He had this idea. It was kind of a virologist idea. He believed that you could cure racism and hate, literally cure it, by injecting music and love into people's lives. When they was scheduled to perform at a peace rally, gunmen came to his house and shot him down. 2 days later, he walked out on that stage and sang. Somebody asked him why. He said, the people who are trying to make this world worse are not taking a day off. How can I?
And that was another new Black History Month legend, courtesy of The Breakfast Club.
All right, and happy birthday to Bob Marley. Today's his
happy
birthday.
Happy Born Day to Bob Marley. We should all hope to make the impact on the world that Bob Marley did.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he's like the biggest artist universally ever. across everything.
Bob? Yeah, and I think Michael Jackson? Between
nah,
those two?
I think Bob might have Michael beat across the world. I don't know, though. That's close.
Mm.
Bob and Michael and maybe Tupac.
And even, like, as far as his, you know, all the merchandise.
Oh, they selling the hell out of Bob Marley stuff.
Bob
they got
Marley
headphones.
That we still
they
have
got all
to
types
this
of
day.
Stuff.
Coffee.
Coffees, juice.
Yeah.
All types, candles, matches, all types of Bob Marley.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I wonder if there's kids out there who...
Even his legacy, his children.
You think people know Bob Marley's a real person?
Yes.
His kids.
I'm just saying, because think about all the kids that just see him on merchandise.
Yeah, they...
Oh, you said that they know he's a real person?
Yeah.
His music still today, to this day, people still...
Like Aunt Mama, like just a pur.
That's what I'm saying.
No, man.
Like for real.
They know he's a real person.
Aunt Mama might be real, too, though. I'm not sure.
What the hell was that? See? Talk about Bob Marley, all on the phone.
Bob Marley wants to call in.
He wants to call in. My goodness. All right. When we come back, we got the positive note. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Devon Franklin for joining us today.
Yes, he's a class act, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say. He definitely has inspired and helped a lot of people. We had a Q&A yesterday, and the questions that people were asking him in the audience at the Schomburg were pretty good. There was one woman who said that she's been with her husband, I think, for like 17 years, and she's now ready to leave him, and she just read his book. And now she wants to know what should her next steps be. And you got to hear what his answer was to that. But, you know, there's real-life situations
what,
that...
What was his
reading,
answer? Because you
got to
be careful
like
when you play with, people's lives and you really don't know the ins and outs and you give people advice.
Well, he recommended, of course, that they've been in couples therapy for 5 years.
Oh.
And she talked about how they have gone through a different therapist because they were trying to find somebody that was suitable for them. She had these dreams and passions in life that she has not still achieved, and he's not supportive of what it is that she wants to do. And she put a lot of the things that she wanted to do and made a lot of sacrifices.
What if she want to rap? And he just
she
like,
does
no,
not
you're
rap.
Trash.
That's true. Yeah, well, she wants to be a rapper.
You know, but anyway, as I was saying, you know, she's tried, basically, mm-hmm. and she's gone through all the different feelings and gone through counseling and all of that. And, you know, he definitely did... He isn't telling you to leave him or whatever, but everybody's relationship and situation is different. All he can do is guide you on some things that you can do, some actionable steps to kind of help you figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm going to be with Devon Franklin tonight in Chicago, too. We're going to be at the Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church having a...
what time?
Don't give me the line. But it's a program discussing the current state and future of, you know, just African-American men. So we'll be talking about, you know, mental health and just doing the work to be a better human being out here.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah, to get rid of that dog inside of you. Your
oh,
inner
I've been
dog.
Did that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Believe us on a positive note.
Listen, the positive note is this, man. If you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino!